Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It is 5 minutes after the hour. It is Wednesday. So glad you joined us today. I want to start with a passage out of Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What a great way to start the day. We've got a great show coming up this morning. Gabe Lyons is going to be with us in just a minute or two. He's the brains behind the Q Commons, which is a interactive sort of live learning experience, which is tomorrow night, and it's going to be across the country and in many of our cities that we broadcast Faith Radio. So we're excited to talk to him. Q Commons is it's a learning experience that really challenges people that attend to stay curious, to think well, and to advance good in their communities. So that is something we could all benefit from. It's about a two-hour event, and it will really help educate Christians on how they can bring hope and leadership to their communities in a critical moment for America. And I don't think anybody is debating that. We're at certainly a critical stage in our country. Culturally, we are a little bit messy, so to speak. And Q Commons is a way to gather as Christians and get some sharpen our skills and bring hope and leadership and how we can take that into our communities and make a difference. So that's good. All right, starting today, there's a fine for texting while walking in Honolulu. Now, frankly, I would just like to be in Honolulu. Imagine seeing Waikiki Beach, Diamond Head Mountain in the background, and you'd rather be looking at your phone. Huh. I hate it when they have to take a rule out of the Book of Common Sense and put it in the book of rules. And now there's legal enforcements, and police can say, "Hey, you looking at your phone over here. Here's a $35 ticket. Now go have fun in Waikiki." Anyway, another thing I saw, Mark Wahlberg says he's asked for forgiveness to God for making Boogie Nights. Still no word from Dustin Hoffman on Ishtar. So we'll wait to hear more about that in just a minute. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and then get Gabe Lyons already on our studio line. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today. The brains and good looks behind the Q Commons is Gabe Lyons. He's with us this morning on our studio line. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you and Rebecca holding up with the big Q Conference tomorrow? Q Commons conference tomorrow.
We're doing great, man. It's an exciting time. There's a lot happening with over 150 cities hosting this event. You know, it's nonstop action.
Yeah, and you last slept in August.
That's right. No, we have a great team, man. I'm so blessed. I'm got a great team of people, and of course, we have 150 different leaders out leading in their cities. So, I mean, we feel just super encouraged by the people God's raising up to lead these kind of important conversations and such an important moment. Yep. Not only in the U.S., but around the world.
Yeah. How did you get into this God-sized vision? I mean, how did it all start? You can just briefly say, I don't want to waste a lot of time with it, but I want to get to the conference itself.
Well, 15 years ago, God just put in my heart a vision for the Christian faith to be something seen in Western cultures as important again.
Awesome.
And we had lost that sense of it, and it seemed like God's just kind of guided my path to just be a part of trying to contribute to people understanding how the Christian faith actually informs how human beings flourish, how we actually live the fullness of the good life he's designed us to live. And so now we're just trying to apply that in every single corner of the world and every industry and every kind of issue or conversation and bring that worldview to bear in a way that sometimes it's ignored.
And this project is so ambitious and so big that if God doesn't step in, you got nothing.
That's right, man. It's so obvious that this isn't something a man can carry out.
That's right. These are my favorite projects. So let's talk about the event tomorrow night. I'm sure there's still openings available in many cities. So let's talk about it.
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we have just for your listeners to understand, it's a 2-hour event that takes place in all of these locations all over the U.S. We have several global cities participating, from Australia and South Africa to Europe. We also have 20 colleges participating. And so on this one night, what's happening is Christians are coming together for 2 hours to learn, to hear talks, some of which we stream live to them, others of which are local talks by leaders in their own community. And it's all meant to help them think well and know how to advance good as Christians in their community, in their city, and really give a witness to how our Christian faith compels us to be a part of the solution to a lot of the division that we're sensing and feeling in our culture.
Gabe, I've been to one of them, and they are really spectacular. I have to say, you know, you talk about it being 2 hours. It's some of the fastest 2 hours I've sat through, because it's a combination of, national speakers that are streaming live via video, and then there's some local people who are making a difference in the community, and there's a little bit of a back and forth thing going on. So it's the pace is fast, and it's so efficiently run, and it's really, I got to say, this is a really awesome night.
Well, thank you. You guys have been so encouraging about it, and I know in a lot of your listening area, there's multiple locations, and people can see where this is happening. And even if there's not one in your city, for the first time this year, we're making it available so that you can host in your home and invite a few friends over, have family members come around, and enjoy this entire 2-hour evening and discuss and debate and talk about the issues that we're talking about, no matter where you live. So in the past, that's been a little bit of a limiting factor if somebody didn't live, you know, within a few minutes or 20 minutes of a mm-hmm. location. But at qcommons.com, so the letter Q, the word commons.com, when you go there, you can either find your city or you can gather in your home. And you can see in either of those situations who the speaker is in your city. Three of our presenters are everybody's hearing around the world. And one of those is a guy named David Brooks, who's a New York Times op-ed columnist, but a best-selling author of a book called The Road to Character. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is this country can't heal. No country can heal without people of character and virtue. And so he'll be really talking about what are virtues in the modern moment that we're in, and how do we cultivate those, not only in ourselves, but in our children, in our world around us. We've got Kara Powell, who's written a book on technology and how it affects relationships, talking about how we can confront our technology addiction and really get away from just living behind a screen and starting to see people eye to eye again, and human-to-human contact and understand some of the good ways technology is also part of the solution. And then we also have Propaganda as one of those three talks everybody's hearing. He's a hip-hop artist, spoken word kind of prophet, and he's talking about how do we get along despite differences, and how do our differences actually, we don't need to all think the same, we don't need to all look the same, so how do our differences bring us together? And it's going to be a very inspiring moment. And then in addition to that, three local talks happening, very customized to your city, to your context.
Yeah, I was looking at your lineup, and I was fascinated that you're going to have Kara Powell talking about technology. I was at the top of the show. I don't know if you were on the line yet. There's starting today a fine for texting while walking in Honolulu. I mean, I'm just thinking you've got Waikiki Beach and Diamond Head, and you're still rather be looking at your phone.
That's right. I mean, today it's not only the distraction it's creating, but it's the way in which it's even in our own wiring of our brains and the way we're thinking and our inability to logically kind of work through things or even, you know, have these in moment embodiments that, like on Waikiki Beach, like just being present with the person you're with or in
right.
nature. It's like it's stealing something from
us. I know.
Us.
I was saying I hate it when you have to take a rule out of the Book of Common Sense. Now, the Book of Common Sense would say when you're in Waikiki, look around you. Don't be looking at your phone. And
right.
so they take a rule out of the Book of Common Sense. Now they have to put it in the Book of Actual Rules, where if you're caught doing this, you're going to get fined by the police.
Yeah, That's amazing. Can you imagine a police officer coming up to you on the beach just saying, hey, put your phone away.
Hey.
What are you doing?
I think they're probably doing us a big favor. All right, Gabe, let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about Q Commons and what God is doing in this amazing project you've got going. We'll be back with more Gabe Lyons in just a minute. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Good morning. It's 17 minutes after the hour. I'm so glad you're with us today. I'm speaking to Gabe Lyons on our studio line from Q Commons, the big events tomorrow night, with some keynote speakers like David Brooks, Kara Powell, Propaganda will all be streaming live. And then with local speakers and presenters in every city that they're going to be in. And it's now running around the world. So, Gabe, this thing's out of control.
It is. It's so fun, though, when you... You know, the vision for this was unity amongst the body of Christ in cities around the world.
Wow.
And now we're seeing that, and we're seeing Q Commons is almost in these gatherings an excuse to get a bunch of great people together in a room to meet one another, to think about what's happening in their city, to meet their officials. I mean, many of these have local mayors speaking at them and people who are in Congress or people who are really working for the good of their city. And so it starts to create new relationships
mm-hmm.
that didn't exist. And this world functions on that. And so, it's just fun to see it.
You know, Gabe, wouldn't you say that the necessity of people just simply gathering and sitting down and having a meal and having discussions is what what motivates new ministries and new ideas and new ways to heal and grow and the gospel?
Yeah, just being embodied with one another. But I'll say too, Bill, I mean, in the moment we're in, when you look at American culture specifically, people don't trust institutional leadership right now. They're not trusting the government or politics. They don't trust the academy or educational institutions as much. Media now is just on the blacklist of things not to pay attention to. It's not going to really inform you of what the truth is. So in a moment like this, people are realizing, look, if things are going to change, it's going to be up to us. It's not going to be up to trusting somebody else to take care of the challenges in front of us. It's going to be up to us, and that's what Thursday night's about. There's a bunch of people coming together saying, I'm going to take responsibility for the part I can play in healing our divided moment, and I'm going to take responsibility for it however I can. And they're going to encourage one another, be inspired, be equipped to do that, and that's what's great about what comes out of this night.
Yeah, Gabe, I was just hearing on the news coming in this morning that millennials in particular are gravitating towards witchcraft. And things of the occult, because they're, and the report said, well, it's not that they're not spiritual, they're just not staying with Christianity, or they're not interested, and they're gravitating towards witchcraft. I go, huh.
Yeah, I know. I've read that same stories, and I think I always try to look at what's on the spiritual side. What's the positive in a story that seems so awful? It's that people are still looking for something transcendent. They know there's more to this world than what they can see in the temporal lens and the natural flesh lens. And they know that deep in their soul. But they haven't found the Christian faith, at least, as a true alternative to pursue, as something that's worth giving some time and energy to. And part of that's just the spirit of the age. But part of it is, many of them never have seen an expression of our faith that really speaks to the here and now, that speaks to how am I supposed to live today? What is my purpose? Why are we here as human beings? You know, and that's what a night like Q Commons is about, is really expressing this is not just church. This is like a town hall meeting
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday night saying this is how faith could be applied to our communities, to our own selves. So that we can show and be a healing balm that we know God wants to bring to our relationships, to the division, to our institutions. But we have to show up. And so the first step in this is to show up, to be a part of it. And that's why I want to encourage all your listeners to just see if you can participate, even if it's at your home, on your couch, with your spouse or one friend or alone, participate with us. And if you can't get to somewhere in your city at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, you can tune in at qcommons.com and host it in your home and create a real conversation, even if it's just with your kids, about these important topics. And you'll be joining with 25,000 people around the world for that are having the same conversation. And that's encouraging to all of us to not feel like we're alone, because none of us can do this alone.
Yeah. Gabe, I have to say you have certainly figured out pacing. You know how to put on an event, and you know how to keep it moving and how to keep people engaged and interested. Now, I would say for David Brooks as being one of the presenters, that's worth tuning in alone, period.
Yeah.
Not to mention you're going to probably be on stage with a fresh haircut.
No, you're so funny.
And that's worth seeing, too.
It's been probably 2 weeks since I had a haircut, so, you know, it's not that fresh.
You're dragging a little bit, Gabe. You're dragging. Come on.
Well, David Brooks, you talk about our programs moving. David Brooks will give an 18-minute talk. That's
right.
The longest talk of the night. And
right.
Then the other two national talks are 9 minutes. The local talks are 9 minutes. We have a clock on stage counting down so the speakers don't go over.
That's what I'm talking
about. Time at these,
yeah.
You know, at the local events, we give you 15 minutes to have discussion halfway through the night and at the end of the night. So anyway, you're right. It's a fast-paced 2 hours.
Yeah, no, it's really an amazing event. And I have to say, having gone to it, I encourage all the listeners to check into it, even if you can stream it live in your home. Don't miss this. What does it cost to go to this, Gabe? Is there an entrance fee?
Yeah, depending on the city, it's either $20 or $29, and it just depends on that city and how much they helped fund the event or whether the attendees are funding. But $29 is the highest it costs. If you watch it in your home and host kind of a house party, it's $59, and you can have, you know, as many people as you want to fit in your home watch it. And so that's the cost structure for it.
Yeah. And how can we be praying for this, Gabe? This is a big deal.
Well, you know, praying for a couple things. One is we are huge believers that who God wants in the rooms these nights are going to be there. And we've been amazed at the people who show up that aren't even Christians that are drawn to this conversation. Just praying for every person there that God would move in the way only the Holy Spirit can do to encourage them and quicken their spirit for the moment that we're in, for the time we're living in. And then second, for our witness as Christians through these kinds of events happening in all of these cities, that the world takes notice, that media takes notice, that those who are reporting on the news that you're listening to this morning about witchcraft also are seeing the good that's happening through the church. And there's so much good that's never reported on that these nights represent. And so even conversations like you and I are having, Bill, are a great encouragement to me and my team, because more and more people in your listening audience are hearing that, hey, I didn't know Christians did these kinds of things, hosted these kinds of events.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want God's glory to go forward by seeing his church show up in maybe a unique way right now that most people aren't used to seeing.
Gabe, thanks so much. We'll be praying for the event. And if you want to go get more information, qcommons.com. The letter Q, the word commons.com. Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Have a great day. It's 25 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and we'll listen to Ken Davis and a little Lighten Up.
Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and one of the core listeners of the Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio with Bill Arnold.
Good morning. It's 28 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break for news, and then you're going to hear bagpipe music at about 20 minutes until the hour when Ken Kaiser is going to be here. So we'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. It's 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Rob Morgan's a pastor and author. I've read a couple of his books. He's a wise guy. I really like him. I've talked to him a couple of times on the phone as well. And he says the Bible has much to say about the numerous blessings we receive when we genuinely love God with our whole heart. Let's hear from Pastor Rob Morgan.
I looked up every reference in the Bible about the way that we should love God. and there are a lot of ways about how we are to love him, but the longest list were the promises that come to people who really love the Lord their God with all their strength. It says that if you love the Lord, he will show his love to us for 1,000 generations, that if we love him, he will send rain in its season, that if we love him, he would become our very life, that he would make us like the sun rising in its strength, that he would turn to us and have mercy on us, that he watches over those who love him, that he makes his home with those who love him. Romans 8:28 says that he works all things for the good of those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that he prepares things for us that are beyond what our eyes have seen or what our ears have heard if we love him. And James 1:12 says he bestows the crown of life on those who love him. You know, the great blessings of the Christian life just come from loving him, and even a child can do that.
That's Pastor Rob Morgan, and boy, does he love God's Word. If you want to hear that full interview, head over to myfaithradio.com and type in Rob Morgan or Joy and Choice. You'll get there. Take a short break and then be back in studio with Dr. Kent Kaiser.
The day his friend was burned at the stake for his beliefs, John Knox was catapulted into the Reformation movement. This is Jim Garlow remembering the Protestant Reformation. The Scottish people wanted a simple, pure faith, and John Knox became a natural leader. In 1556, condemned in Scotland for heresy for his Reformation views, Knox returned to Geneva. While there, he wrote an epic treatise condemning female monarchy and obvious reference to Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, as she was called. And in 1560, the Scots Confession of Faith, largely written by John Knox, was adopted by Parliament. Turbulent times followed, but finally the Scottish Church, following the model of John Calvin's theology, became a reality. Knox was courageous always against political leaders who tried to crush his theological views, making way for Protestantism to become the faith of Scotland. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
And of course, that music means Dr. Kent Kaiser is in studio. Kent, didn't you have a big bagpipe concert this weekend?
We did. It was great.
Great,
you should have been there. You should have been there.
For who?
I didn't see you there. Man, at one point we had something like 30 people playing up on the stage. It was amazing how many people were playing.
Yeah.
And so, yes, loud.
Did the number of people on stage exceed the number of people in the audience?
Not quite. But
okay.
we don't promote this fall concert. The spring concert really gets promoted till the place gets packed. We usually have a lot more. We have more like celebrity appearances or whatever you want to say, too.
That's possible in bagpipe?
It's true.
Yeah. That I would have
Last year we had the mayor of St. Paul playing with us for a couple of tunes. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And what's his name again?
Chris Coleman.
Chris Coleman. Yeah, I didn't know he was a bagpipe player.
Yep.
That's very cool. All right, let's get into some of the news that's going on. Mark Wahlberg says he wants to ask for forgiveness to God for making Boogie Nights. So if that's the trend, maybe John Travolta needs to apologize to L. Ron Hubbard for Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see that. I mean, Wahlberg has been, he's a devout Catholic, and he's been pretty open about his faith for a long time. And he's married to Jenny McCarthy, also Catholic. And it seems like they're pretty committed to their faith, and it's interesting now he looks back in retrospect at these films that he's made, and that wasn't the only film that he's kind of regretted, but that's the one he regretted the most, I think, mm-hmm. And he's asking forgiveness for it, and he said he hoped that God watches films and will forgive him for it, but it's interesting that this is coming at this time when we've got this scandal in Hollywood with Weinstein and stuff. Makes one wonder whether we might have some kind of like a renewal or something of spirit in Hollywood, or maybe they'll get religion or something, and finally say that not everything goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Harvey Weinstein said every one of his encounters was consensual, do you believe that?
No. And the reason is that, I mean, the women are coming forth and saying that it wasn't consensual. And the other thing is that whenever there's that power differential, You know, women might go along with something because they wanted to advance their careers or something, but they didn't really want to. I mean, they to engage with him or something. But it seems like it seems like so many women have come forward now, and it seems like there are other people in Hollywood, men and women, who knew about Weinstein and how slimy he was. And what's shocking is that nobody stood up before and said anything. And but now that it's happening, we'll see if it cleans up Hollywood. The interesting thing will be to see if it's if it involves other people too. It mm-hmm. seems like it does. It seems like other actors and actresses have suggested that they were, especially as children, molested by other directors and so on, movie producers. And so one has to wonder whether other names are going to come up in terms of, like, other than just Weinstein.
Yeah. No, Kent, Mark Wahlberg says he needs to ask for forgiveness for some movies he made. What about us? Should we be asking God for forgiveness for some movies we've watched?
For going to watch them? You know, I think it, yeah, I suppose maybe. I suppose it depends on what you went to see the movie for. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people do go to some movies for the wrong reasons, aren't going there to be uplifted or something. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of movies don't really have redemption in them. It's interesting. I teach a speech class, and we have this one assignment that's common among all of the sections of speech that we teach, that's where the students have to do a movie review. So they have to go and see a movie or rent it, and then they do a speech, and it's 5 minutes per person. It's usually groups of four or five people. So we're talking about a pretty extensive review of a movie. And but we give them a specific list of movies that have redemption in them and, mm-hmm. and that are appropriate. You know, we don't give them movies that don't have redemption or that, you know, wouldn't be appropriate for a Northwestern student to see, or that have a lot of swearing or sex or violence and things mm-hmm. like this. And so, that's what people have to look for, I think, when they go to see a movie. Is there going to be some message of redemption in here, or is it just all bad? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the thing. There's certain movies. I mean, look, there's that one movie. It was named Road to Perdition. You know that there was nothing good going to come out of that movie. You know, I mean, it's right in the title.
Right.
And there are many movies that are like that, which really, you know, there's some movies where you might hear or see some things that are off-putting maybe, but there's that redemption at the end. And so, you know, those movies, I think one could go and see them with that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go and see a movie because of some prurient interest or something, then I said, then no.
Well, what about TV series and shows? I mean, I watched a little of The Sopranos and I thought, boy, is this good TV? And then you realize the content's pretty disgusting.
Well, no, I remember there's been sitcoms over the years, and I sort of have this discussion too with students. It's kind of funny what they'll put up with, because it's like, you know, when they're, well, I remember when Friends was on the air, and I always thought that was a terrible TV show, because it's all about sex. There's really nothing mm-hmm. nothing really content wise to that's redeeming about that show. And today the students would be, oh, that's nothing, that show is, you know, they think it's just, you know, yeah, they don't think anything of
slope.
It because now the TV shows that are on are so much, much, much worse. And so, you know, and they tell me, I mean, you know, I understand they're watching shows like Family Guy or whatever, and it's really kind of very crude and rude kinds of shows. And so they don't think of those. They think of old-fashioned for saying that I think that Friends was inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen an episode of Friends, so I can't comment on that, but it's a slippery slope, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is like when you look at it from a perspective of somebody who's old, like me, like if you, you know, it's been a slippery slope for us to
it,
because, you know, we've seen the progression from the sitcoms of what, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and so on. These kids haven't seen that progression.
That's
They're
true.
Just all of a sudden exposed to what's out there right now. And so all of a sudden, it's like they're exposed in a very stark way to a lot of shows that I think are inappropriate.
Yeah, the Dick Van Dyke Show, and you never saw Ward and June Cleaver's bedroom ever.
Right, right. No, and like I say, but we've seen that progression. So for us, it's kind of like, I suppose for us, it's kind of like, you know, we see this and we say, oh, my goodness, this is worse than the past. But when a kid comes along and just views this stuff, that's what they think is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so then how do they ratchet it up to be even more titillating for those kids? You know, it's hard to imagine what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah. Kent, what is the Christian's fascination with Christian celebrities? What's with that?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of funny, because I can, every time a Christian or a celebrity comes out as being a Christian, it just seems like there are a lot of Christians who want to sort of say, hey, he's one of us or she's one of us. And I get it. I mean, everybody wants to be associated with a winner. There's a whole communication theory about that, too. Basking in reflected glory, it's called. And so if you're a Christian, you want to see other Christians out there who are successful and in a variety of different ways. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the same thing if you see somebody who's a Christian who is, in the corporate world. I mean, as soon as we found out that, you know, Chick-fil-A had a Christian basis or the CEO, I know that the sales of Chick-fil-A spiked. Because Christians started flocking there,
yeah.
and we see that no matter what the realm is, but especially with celebrities, just because they're super famous, so of course people want to be attached to them.
Yeah, didn't Christians kind of almost ruin Bob Dylan in a way, though? Because we tried to get him on stage as early as we could to have him pronounce it, his Christian faith.
Right,
I think it kind of drove him the other direction.
It probably did, but you can think of like lots of different times. I mean, remember just a few years ago when Matthew McConaughey won an Academy Award and he got up there and the first person he thanked was God.
Yeah.
And you know, I said he said that and all the Christian girls swooned. You know, it was, you know, all of a sudden, like the next day, that's all everybody was talking about here at Northwestern. You know, all the students were, oh, I didn't know he was a Christian.
Yeah, he's the new heartthrob,
right,
all of a sudden. Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
so your stock was trading lower.
I know. Yeah, so he's old. You know, all of a sudden, obviously he's popular. But look at just like even in the sports world, I mean, there it happens a lot. But look at like a Tim Tebow,
yeah.
who he's just a rock star in terms of, you know, in the Christian world and not so much outside of it.
That's true. All right, Kent, let me take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Dr. Kent Kaiser in studio. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. I'll take you out with a little Stevie Wonder. Good morning. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour, and I have Dr. Kent Kaiser in studio with his non-iron shirt on. That's a non-iron shirt.
A non-iron shirt?
Yeah.
No, I ironed it.
then it looks like it's been ironed. I just thought it was a non-iron shirt. But anyway, nice job. The thing I love about Kent in studio is it's like a pinball machine. We go just about anywhere, everywhere. Now we're going to change direction and go to Nepal. They're outlawing evangelism.
Yes, and this makes Nepal similar to neighboring India, where it is already illegal to evangelize. And India is a place where I've gone on some mission trips, and it's interesting because when I've been there, I've been teaching conversational English to seminary students, but we definitely don't go out into the community to evangelize because we could get in trouble for it. Now we do go to churches and we teach Sunday school and things like that, but we definitely don't go out there and try to do any conversions because we, again, could get in trouble, so we leave that to the locals. Well, now, the same kind of legislation has passed. It passed a few months ago in Nepal, and now the president signed it into law, and so it makes it illegal for it's an anti-evangelism, anti-conversion, and a blasphemy law. So blasphemy against, in this case, the main religion in Nepal, just like in India, is Hindu. About 80% of the people in Nepal are Hindu. And there's about, I think, 15% who are Buddhist, which would be, you know, similar to the neighboring China. And then the number of Christians is like 0.5%. So it's a very small minority of the population, and so it makes it especially troubling when you have a population that is so overwhelmingly something other than Christian, and how the Christians now will be treated in that country. And similarly in India, it's only about 1% of the population that's actually Christian. Now where I've been in the south part of India, it's about 10% of the population, but still what you often see in those countries is that all the minority religions kind of get together to embolden one another and to kind of protect and defend one another. And in fact, in India, the Christians and Muslims actually are kind of in the same boat where they're persecuted by the Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very uneasy relationship, as you can probably imagine, between the Christians and the Muslims.
Sure.
But they kind of have to get together every now and then for legal purposes to defend their ability to practice their faiths. And so now Nepal, there's this one watch list. Open Doors is an organization that comes up with a watch list of places where Christians are being persecuted. And the top of the list, of course, is North Korea, and has been for some time. And as one might imagine, the top of the watch list includes Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and so on. India is actually number 15. Nepal doesn't show up on this list yet at this moment, but I can't imagine how Nepal doesn't just move right up to somewhere in the vicinity of where India is on this list for the next time the Open Doors does this watch list, and it's an interesting collection of information that Open Doors provides. I recommend it if people want to go to their website and look up this world watch list of where Christians are persecuted. And there's some surprises on there too. In their top 50 includes countries like Mexico, which you might not expect, but because of the prevalence of gangs and drug gangs, mm-hmm. basically, and they have targeted especially Catholic organizations that are trying to bring about social change. And so there are some surprise countries, I think, that are on this list. I think it's interesting, but I think now Nepal is probably going to make this list in the future.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate your work over in India, that you're going over there doing missions trips.
Yeah, it's been a while. I need to get back there, but it's always fun because when I've been there, I've been teaching English to seminary students. So these are all guys. It's unbelievable what they're doing. They are all Lutheran too, but they all, after they graduate, have to go out and start a church. It's not like here where, okay, now you graduate, now you can go out to a church that already exists. These mm-hmm. guys are all responsible for going out and starting a brand new church. Think of how daunting a task this is. And a lot of these guys are, you know, in their mid-20s and trying to maybe thinking about start a family and stuff. And here they've got this this task of starting a church from nothing. And then we've visited some of the churches. One guy had a church where there wasn't even a roof. He was holding weekly services, no roof. So if it rained, which it often does during monsoon season in India, you know, everybody's sitting there with an umbrella and worshiping, and they do fill the churches. That's the other thing. It's just remarkable how people flock into the churches. But, you know, Christianity offers something a lot different from Hinduism. You know, Hinduism, people might recognize you come back for a new life seven times or something mm-hmm. like that. But then you ask them, well, what's after that? Well, there is nothing.
Mm.
So, of course, Christianity offering something for the future is offering something new and better, and so people are interested in hearing more.
That's a visual that makes me happy. People with umbrellas in a church without a roof during the monsoon season, worshiping God.
Yeah. Oh, and dirt floor. That's the other thing. Dirt floor. So they're
dirt
in
floor.
The mud.
Yes. You know? Oh boy.
That's barefoot because they leave there in that country. You take off your shoes when you walk into church. So they leave their shoes out front, mm-hmm. you know, and then they walk in barefoot into the mud and worship.
So muddy feet on the way out into wet shoes.
And they sing.
And
they sing
happy.
So loud. They sing so loud. It's just amazing. When you're walking past any church, you can hear outside just the voices.
Yeah, and I'm so mad at my church because they changed the hazelnut blend at the coffee shop.
Yeah, right?
So mad. I'm not going back to their church ever. All right.
They do always have tea afterwards at church.
Oh, that's nice.
In India.
That's nice.
Yeah, Kai tea.
Yeah. Now, the Clinton campaign and the DNC helped pay for work on the dossier about Russia and Trump. So I think the spin would be that Hillary would say, of course I did this. You would expect her to do opposition research.
Well,
that's what politics are.
Well, but this is dirty opposition research, and it's all about Russian. The thing is, it started out with some Russian donor. I haven't figured out who yet. But then after the primary was over and Trump was the Republican candidate, then the Democrats took it up, the DNC. And this one attorney who was involved, by the way, was the attorney who was the head of the recount between Senator Coleman and now Senator Franken, and flipped that election from being a win for Coleman to being for Franken. And I can just tell you, like, after having observed that this is a guy whose scruples are questionable
mm-hmm.
and who will skirt along the edges of the law for sure. And, you know, it's interesting to see now that he's involved with this, because apparently he's the one who, on the Democratic side, hired another law firm to do this so-called opposition research. Now, what, everything that I've seen in this that's come from this research has been really not credible. A lot of sort of salacious claims about President Trump and things that are not able to be verified and probably never will be verified. And this is what the Democrats were paying for just in order to smear the opposition. And so I doubt that Clinton is going to come forth and say that she was involved in any way with this research. I mean, obviously it was being done on her behalf.
Well, Hillary would put enough layers between her and her dirty deeds so she can claim once again, I didn't know.
Well, even this attorney hired another law firm. So,
oh, right.
You know, it's like
layering.
Yeah, that's
it's
exactly
like us
right.
In the winter with layers.
They won't
we have
be able
nine
to figure
layers
out
just to go outside and survive.
So it's like, you know, we won't even be able to figure out who ultimately was responsible or who actually where you have to follow the money. And in this case, it's probably really difficult to do.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw that one guy's name attached to it, I was like, okay, this is an operation that's probably not on the total up and up.
Yeah. And when Donald Trump Jr. had, you know, what was apparently a 40-minute meeting for potential dirt on Hillary, of course, the media collectively said, how dare he?
Right.
How dare he? So it all comes around, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, Kent, thanks so much for being in the studio. Have a great day with your students. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Dr. Ken Kaiser, it is 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. And we've got a lot coming up in hour two with Bill English will be in. I just saw him walk into the green room. And then we've got Stephen Mansfield. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning. A couple minutes until the top of the hour. I saw the word flakes, which I think refer to snow, which does not make me happy. The only flakes I want to talk about are additional ones on the counter after eating cereal. I'm not ready for winter, but it looks like we could get a little bit of that in Fargo. Be back in a minute with hour two. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.